Good morning, and if you're watching online, we greet you in the name of Jesus. If you're listening, please listen carefully and see what God has to say to you. We want to turn to Matthew chapter 13. We are going through some of the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to a very interesting one today. The title of our sermon this morning is Weeds in the Wheat. Weeds in the Wheat. And we want to look at this text today, see what the Lord has to speak to us of. Matthew 13, and I'm going to read verses 24 to 30, and then 36 to 43. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Down to verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he answered them and said, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is God's Word. There are passages of the Bible which are sometimes difficult to deal with. Some are very difficult because they're hard to understand, and they require a lot of diligent study and a lot of prayer. But there are some stories in the Bible and some of the parables of the nature which Jesus told that are not difficult to interpret, but interpreted properly may cause some people to think that we're harsh and unloving. The parable we want to handle this morning is one that will make those of us who believe God's truth, that Jesus spoke that truth, seem to be harsh in the ears of some critics. But God requires his prophets and his preachers to disclose all of the scriptures, and not just the ones that are tender. We will endeavor to show the truth today that because Satan plants weeds in God's kingdom, we should test our genuineness. First, look at the storyline. Jesus begins a parable by speaking of good seed. Notice that. Verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. He is here to tell us more about the kingdom of God. So the sower plants good seed that will germinate and produce fruit on the grain. But notice the strange event which occurs under the cover of darkness. Verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. There's really nothing bad said about the sleeping men. It's just, it's normal for people to sleep at certain times. He wasn't teaching that they were slacking off. But who would think of such a stupid thing to go into a field where it's already planted and go and scattering a bunch of bad seed amongst the good seed? I mean, there's enough weeds in my garden, I don't need to do that. Verse 26 says, the grain sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Not only do the good seed sprout, but the weeds also come up. And they come through the ground, and there they are. This created a puzzlement for the servants of the sower. Verse 27, they said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? They had seen the great care that the sower had taken to plant only good seed. Maybe he had taken it to the seed cleaner to get rid of all the weeds. And he had planted seed that should produce healthy plants. But for some reason, there were the weeds growing amongst the wheat. The sower replies very interestingly, an enemy has done this. You see, the enemy seeks to damage the good seed. This can happen in many ways. Let me point out a few. First of all, fake seed mimic the good seed. And so because of that, the good seed thinks the false seed is okay. Secondly, the fake grain steals nutrients from the good seed. And that can happen. That's why we go out to the garden to weed, is so that we get rid of those things that shouldn't be in that soil. And thirdly, it may cause damage to the genuine seed as well. I know when you weed sometimes, you have to be careful. And we'll talk about that in a minute, because the servant suggested a weeding program. Let us at it. Let us get it done. We'll get rid of those weeds for you. But the master's response is very interesting. No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. What do I mean by you have to be careful when you're weeding? Well, there's certain plants when they come up, you know what they are, and you're not likely to cut them off. But there's little seeds like carrots that come up, and beside those carrots are a whole bunch of other things. And if you're not careful, you may pull carrots out. When they get bigger, they can look after themselves. But when they're small, they look so much like the other seeds. So the master is not concerned about the weeds. He is most concerned about the genuine thing. Have you noticed that? This is a key to understanding the great love and compassion of the master that he has for the real wheat. He's more concerned about the real wheat than he is about the tares. Isn't that an amazing thought? When we talk about what all these things mean, it will help us understand the compassion that God has for his true people, those who love him. So how would this all be dealt with in the end? Verse 30, we're told that the master's manner in handling the real grain and the weeds. It says, let them both grow together until the harvest, and I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. A separation will take place. Be assured, as you're sitting here this morning, there will be a separation of the weeds and the wheat. The valueless seed will be burnt up, and the good seed will be placed in the barns. You see, it is the job of the reapers to separate the good seed from the worthless seed. Although they may go through life sharing the same field, a day will come in which the emptiness of their ears will be seen. Now, have you ever noticed that we call the heads of grain ears, corn, right? Or we call them heads. It just got me thinking, you know. We talk about people being empty-headed. You know something? Maybe there's more to that than we realize. Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. So you can have ears without hearing. And that's why he was given this particular set of parables, because he wanted his servants to understand the meaning without the others who were weeds understanding. One must ask, what are the symbols in this parable? It's a very interesting parable. In verse 36, after the crowds dispersed, the disciples come to him. They said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. So the Lord Jesus patiently goes through each part so that they have a very clear understanding of the parable. There are 9 things pointed out about this parable. And they're important for us to understand if we're to correctly interpret this text of Scripture. The sower in the first parable, which we talked about, was not the sower in the second parable. The sower in the first parable is either the Holy Spirit or evangelists and people who love the Lord sharing their faith with others. In this parable, he says, the sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 37. Who's the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus. He is the one that plants the seed. He is the sower that gives life to the seeds which he sows. That's a very important principle. We don't have life from ourselves. We cannot produce life from our own works. It must be the Holy Spirit through the Son of God and through his death on the cross that gives us life. Very important principle of Scripture. Secondly, in verse 38, the second thing, the field is the world. So in some respects, all people living in the world are part of the kingdom of God. And particularly, we would say this of those who are a part of the church. And we'll talk more about that as we go through. But who does the field belong to? Not to the enemy, but to the sower of the seed. And although the enemy tinkers in the field, the ultimate owner of that field is the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, in this parable, we see the good seeds are, in verse 38, the sons of the kingdom. You see, every parable must stand on its own. We don't take from the other parables to get our interpretation, although there are some of the principles we can. As we said, the first parable, the seed was the word of God. In this case, the seeds are the children of God, those who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in him as their Lord and Savior. John 1:12, which is a verse that many of us memorized when we were children, if we were brought up in a church, says this, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. What is the cause of us becoming children of God? Simple. Belief. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, what then are the weed seeds? It says, the tares are the sons of the wicked one. In other words, the tares live among the good seed. And they may well pretend to be part of the good seed, for the sower is not willing to remove them lest the good seed be damaged. This is a sobering truth. It may be well true that there are some who profess to be his children that are not his children. Do you remember what Jesus said? When people said, Lord, have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that? Have we not done something else? He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, the funny thing about the things that they mention, they're talking about outward things, miraculous things. Didn't we do miracles in your name, Jesus? Depart from me, I never knew you. You are bad seed, is what he was saying. It may well be that you can profess Jesus, but not be his child. You see, going to church all your life doesn't make you a Christian. There is no action outward that makes you a Christian. Not even things like baptism or being a member of a church. That's not what saves you. It's the life of Jesus Christ on the cross and dying and you trusting only in him and completely in him that makes you a true head of wheat. You see, it would do well for us to check our birth certificate. And I'm talking about our spiritual birth. 2 Peter 1:10 tells us to do that. And we read these words, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. We ought to be very, very careful to know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should search out our lives to see that our hearts are right with God. Do we belong to Jesus Christ? Have we been born into the kingdom of the Lord? There's a fifth part to the parable. Jesus identifies the enemy in verse 39, and that one's easy to figure out, isn't it? Who is the enemy? The devil. You will remember Jesus said to some religious leaders, people who prided themselves in the fact that they knew the Old Testament, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. Sadly, there are those who spring up with the wheat who are not wheat, but they're tares. You can be born in a Christian home. You can go to a church all your life. You can know about God, but not be saved. And that is why we need to make our election and calling sure that we know of a certainty that we belong to him. Amen? The parable also speaks of the harvest, which verse 39 calls the end of the age. The end of the age is another way of describing the day of judgment, or as some call it, the day of reckoning. This is the time in which all things will be opened by God, and we will stand before him, and everyone will be judged. Who are the reapers? Verse 39. The reapers are the angels. The angels do the bidding of their master, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not be bribed like some government contractors are. We hear about that in the news right now. They cannot be maneuvered in any way to vote for you because you think you're a good guy or a good woman. They act strictly upon the command of the sower to do his will. Verse 42 says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. which suggests that people will have great regrets. But at that point, they will be unable to change their destiny. The eighth and tragic picture is the tares which will be burned in verse 40. It happened at the end of the age. The fire means the weed seeds are never going to infest the soil again. They may boast and excel in growth, but they will be banished and vanquished forever. The last part of this interpretation, Jesus leaves for us to figure out, the ninth thing. What is the barn in verse 30? It is simply the place of safety where all the good seeds will be. No longer will there be the seed that is evil. No longer will the good seed be hurt or bothered. No longer will we be hurt by the devil and cause to sin. Our Lord Jesus said to the 11 the night he was betrayed in John 14, 2 and 3, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the barn. Glory with God. To live forever, away from sin and fear and darkness and pain and all those things. So what is the solution? Well, Jesus goes on to expand further upon the parable in verse 41. He says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. That's difficult to imagine, isn't it? All things that offend, God says, will be taken away. Those who hate God will be taken out of the way. Those who curse and swear in the name of the Lord will be judged. Those who reject the gracious offer of His mercy for salvation will be judged. Anyone who He did not know will be burnt and punished. Not only does it talk about those who offend, but verse 41 talks about those who practice lawlessness, not listening to the law of God. The Greek word's very interesting because we have an English word that comes from it, antinomian. It means without law. And every once in a while you will hear people accusing other Christians of being antinomian because, well, some of us teach and believe that we're not under law. You see, if we were under law, we would have to keep the complete law to be saved, right? Is there one here this morning can say they have completely kept all the law of God? Well, we have a hard enough time keeping the parts that say to love your neighbors yourself, let alone the Godward side of loving God with all our heart, soul, and strength and mind. We can't do that. And that's why we need Jesus Christ to save us from our sin, because we are all sinners. We're all lawless to start with. But notice it says those who practice lawlessness, those who continue in the way of lawlessness, those who do not repent of their lawlessness, these are the tares. So we need to look at our lives and say, are we fully obeying the Word of God or trying by God's grace to? What happens in verse 42? The angels will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are very frank words from our dear Lord Jesus Christ, the meek and mild Jesus. There will be a time of great separation. Do you remember at the beginning of our introduction, I said there are some parables and some passages of Scripture that are very difficult to interpret? Well, this is not difficult to interpret, but I said there are some that are difficult because they teach things that sound harsh. Unfortunately, people don't like it sometimes. But Jesus talked more about hell and eternal punishment than he did about heaven. And he talked lots about heaven. He said there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. No matter how much people scorn Christians for believing what Jesus taught, it doesn't change the truth. You know, it would be very similar to people who hear a doctor saying you have some terminal illness and you go out and mock him. And yet, that's what people are doing constantly in our society today when it comes to the truth of there being an eternal punishment. You know, the mockers themselves show a lot of hypocrisy. There was a preacher in Alberta a few years ago who got in trouble because he ran for a political party. His name is Alan Huntsberger. I have not heard his sermon, so I have to caution you about that. But in his sermon, he talked about the lake of fire and people going to the lake of fire. But these people who made fun and mocked Alan Huntsberger, if you listen to some of them in their everyday speech, they're constantly damning people to hell. What hypocrisy! They know deep down there's a place that they must stand before their judge. Now, as a preacher should never get a thrill out about preaching about hell. Let me tell you that. It should hurt our hearts to have to say that anybody would go there. If you get a thrill out of telling people they're going to hell, something's wrong with you. But to not preach about eternal judgment is equally as cowardly. We must tell the truth. We speak with the truth with tears in our heart, knowing that there are loved ones and people who don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, and unless they come to Him, that they must spend eternity judged. At the end, it says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In our country, we don't hear many people wail, but in some countries you do. You put on the internet and ask, you know, for something about a death, and some of those sounds are horrible. Have you ever heard somebody gnash their teeth? I mean, literally couldn't stop clacking their teeth together. Maybe some of you, when you sleep at night, do that a bit. I've heard of people doing that. I remember one Sunday I was preaching a sermon. I wasn't even talking about eternal punishment that Sunday. But I was preaching a sermon. A man came to the back. He made a beeline. He was the first one out of the church. And he was going like this. And he couldn't stop himself. It was a scary sound. And to see his entire features as they were controlled by whatever, I don't know. It was a terrible phenomenon. It's not something we should ever want for anyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 43 tells us the reward for those who belong to God. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Wow. What causes us to shine with the sun? It's the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, which we read of in Malachi 4:2. But to you who will fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings. Many of us have been hurt by tares. Some of us have been hurt by tares in the church. But the Lord is going to bring healing if you're a real follower of Jesus Christ. See, the Lord plants us carefully in the field. He cares so much about us when we belong to Him. He wants us to sense that great love that is His. So, what are we to learn from this parable today? Let me suggest three things that are helpful. Not all in the world belong to Christ. And not even those in the visible church belong to Jesus Christ. Now, I will say this about those of us that believe in believers' churches, that there are less tares, I trust, than in churches where just about everybody can be a member. But nevertheless, there are tares, and we must be careful to preach the truth so that those that are not saved will become saved. Secondly, we need to be certain of our own personal faith. I belong to the Lord. And we ought to do that regularly. Do I offend? Do I live lawlessly? Then why? Now, there's a difference between falling into sin and failing the Lord many times and practicing lawlessness. Let's put it that way. And we need to understand that. But by God's grace, He gives us the ability to overcome sin. Thirdly, we need to, with broken hearts, share the gospel. May we never delight to tell people that they're going to hell. That's of the devil, really. You know that? Most unsaved people will say things like, "God damn you," right? Can you imagine that? Would a true Christian ever say that? Would a true Christian ever say, "You should go to hell"? We would never wish that on our worst enemy, because it is the most dreadful place to spend eternity. So with a broken heart and with pleading, we should ask people to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, because He died to save sinners, of which I am, and you are too. You see, God made the world perfect. God made the world so that there was no sin in it. But Adam and Eve blew it. And you know, you say, "Well, I blame them." No, you can't, because you were part of Adam and Eve. And we inherit that sinful nature. Were it not for the Son of God coming down and taking on sinless human flesh because He was born of a virgin, there would be no hope. But He came and He took the punishment that was deserving to me and to you, and He took it upon Himself to die on the cross and to shed His blood for you and for me. It's only ungratefulness that rejects that love. Am I a wheat or am I a weed? We must ask that. Day by day, week by week. God bless you, and thank you for joining us on the internet.